The Word of Truth is sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit paulrents.com for party and equipment rentals.
Welcome to The Word of Truth, a ministry of Pastor Lars Larson and the First Baptist Church of Leominster, Massachusetts. It is our desire that our Lord use this broadcast to instruct, encourage, and strengthen both Christians and local churches in the New England region. Pastor Lars is always available to assist you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. May today's message from our pastor be blessed by our Lord to instruct and encourage you through the Holy Scriptures, the Word of Truth.
Greetings, and thank you for listening to our program. In 2 Timothy 3, we read of Paul's instruction to Timothy on how to withstand and correct problems within the church that he was pastoring, which was the church at Ephesus. And here in this epistle, we may learn how to better serve our Lord and His people when we're in conflict with those who are in the church, but who oppose the faith and cause difficulties for others. We will continue our study after we first pray. Our Father, we praise You for having entrusted us with Your most glorious written and authoritative Word, our Holy Bible. We read that through this book You have equipped us with everything that we need in order to address our relationship with You and our relationship with Your people in the church. And we thank You also that through this Word, You have thoroughly equipped Your people to deal with opposers of the truth that may from time to time arise within our churches. We ask, Father, that You would be gracious to us today and enable us to better understand Your Word so that we might be better servants of Jesus Christ. And so may You bless Your Word to us today. May You help us to see afresh its authority and its sufficiency. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We read in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, that Timothy was to continue in the faith that had been taught him by the Holy Scriptures. Paul wrote, "But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And so here we read of Paul's exhortation to Timothy to continue in the faith. That is, Paul exhorted Timothy to continue or persevere in his doctrine, in his understanding of Christian truth. The strength to endure hardship and continue to live for Christ in perilous days is found in our understanding of who God is, what God's will is respecting the salvation of His people and the overthrow of His enemies, and the confidence that we may have through the Word of God that the Lord will accomplish His purposes through His Word. If a man has little understanding or confidence in who God is and what God is doing in this world, that man or woman will not be courageous or strong in the Lord. He will become discouraged and easily foiled by the opposition. But a man such as Timothy, who had been taught well, who had been assured that what he had been taught was indeed the truth of God, that man will stand strong in the faith, even unto his full and final salvation. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Timothy had been blessed to have been taught the Holy Scriptures from youth, from childhood. He had never known a time in his life that he had not known the Holy Scriptures. Well, we know from 1 Timothy that it was his mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, who had poured knowledge of God and His ways into the heart and mind of Timothy, even from his youth. Their faith had been communicated to Timothy until it was his faith also. It was then that Paul had himself taken Timothy as a young man to be with him and to travel with him on his missionary journeys. Even when Timothy was but a teenager, it would seem, he had been taught by Paul so that he knew the Lord and the Lord's ways, and as a result, Timothy had a resource to call upon when others about him would shrink from their duty. He had a store from which to draw when the need arose to recall God's Word. And so when he faced some challenge or opportunity to serve his Lord, he was better prepared than most, for he had an understanding of the Scriptures. But Timothy was to see to it by the grace of God that he continued in what he had learned and been assured. Because if you do not, Well, guard yourself, guard your heart. You can actually lose what you have previously known and understood. Now let us underscore what Paul affirmed to Timothy here in this verse, that the Scriptures have the ability to give understanding of salvation. This is what we read in verse 15, that the Scriptures enabled Timothy to become wise for salvation. In fact, only the Scriptures can. God has ordained that His Word, His written Word, the Bible, which alone can bring forth life, be recorded in a book, the Bible. God's Word alone can make people wise unto salvation. Now, let's not take anything for granted. What is the salvation that Paul is referring to? Well, he's speaking of escaping the presence and power of sin and God's condemnation of sin that will be administered on Judgment Day. The great need of mankind is to be saved from sin. Sin has set us against God and God against us. Sin permeates our beings. The best of us are hell-deserving sinners who are not deserving of the least of God's mercies. And God's wrath is upon sinners. His holy, undiminished, unrelenting justice weighs heavy upon every soul. The soul that sins, it shall die. And God has appointed a day of judgment. And God has appointed a judge, Jesus Christ, and each and every sinner shall appear before him on that day. We read of this in Acts 17:31. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, that is, according to his law, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ has assured that a final day of judgment is coming when Jesus Christ will execute God's wrath upon sinners, as Jude recorded. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's Jude, verses 14 and 15. The Bible speaks of books in which our sins are recorded, Revelation 20, verse 12. And even now there's a heavenly register of every one of your sins that you have ever committed in transgression of God's law, in your action, your speech, your attitude, and your thought. And one day you'll stand before the Lord Jesus, and those books will be opened, and that record of all your sins will be revealed and brought before your eyes and before the Lord's eyes, and you will be judged according to your deeds out of those books. And people will cry out of horror when they have an understanding that day has arrived. Of that time, the Scriptures record, then the sky receded as a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth and great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Revelation 6:14-17. And so the great need of fallen, sinful humanity is to be saved from God's wrath on that day. And Paul declared to Timothy that the Holy Scriptures, and again we might add only the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, are able to give you a knowledge of how to be saved from God's wrath on that day. Will you be saved from God's wrath when you're brought before him? Will you be declared guilty, sentenced as condemned to suffer God's unending, undiminished, and eternal wrath that is due any and all who have sinned against an eternal, holy God? How may we be saved? What do the Scriptures say? Well, Paul wrote to Timothy, these Holy Scriptures that you've known since you were a youth, Timothy, they are able to make you wise. That is, they are able to give you understanding how to be saved. And of course, where do the Scriptures point? Again, we can look at verses 14 and 15, where Paul told Timothy, "But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures," and here it is, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." We cannot save ourselves from our sin on that day of judgment. We need one to save us. And God has appointed his Son not only the judge of this world, but he has appointed him as the only Savior of the world. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. God has promised that he will acquit all those whose faith is in Jesus Christ. When the books are opened and the lives, your life is examined, you will be overjoyed that your sins have been blotted out if indeed your faith is in Jesus. That is, there will be no basis of condemnation, even though your sins are laid before you. Why? Because you, if you're a Christian, if you have faith in Christ, will have no debt to pay. God's justice with respect to your sins had been satisfied, for your sins had been paid for by another. And further, you will not only not be found to be clothed in the filthy rags of your own unrighteous deeds, but you will be shown to be clothed in righteousness, not a righteousness of your own, but a righteousness that's been freely given to you through your faith in Christ. Paul spelled all of this out in great detail in his epistle to the Romans. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, having been witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in God's forbearance he passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That's Romans 3:21-26, a glorious word of promise. Well, Paul gave a concluding word of encouragement to Timothy based on the authority and sufficiency of the Holy Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, first of all, recognize what the Apostle Paul was addressing or what he was referring to specifically. When he said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, he was primarily referencing the Old Testament Scripture. There were, of course, some New Testament books already written at this point, but he was referencing the Old Testament, as we have it, as authoritative Scripture for Timothy, for the Christian. This is very important. Both Testaments, Old and New Testament, are the authoritative Word of God to the people of God today. And the reason I emphasize that is that there are some well-intentioned people, Christians, who argue that only the New Testament, and some others even argue only portions of the New Testament, are really authoritative for the church, for the Christian today. This is not what the Word of God declares. Paul, an inspired apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, declared all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. The entire Bible, from Genesis to the Revelation, is the Word of God, and it is all authoritative and to be seen as Scripture by New Testament Christians. Now, of course, you have to understand the Old Testament in the light of the of its foretelling the coming of Jesus Christ, and the Old Testament must be interpreted in the light of the coming of Jesus Christ, according to Paul in 2 Corinthians 3. But to argue or say that somehow the Old Testament is a Jewish book primarily, and the Word of God for Israel primarily, and the New Testament Scriptures are the Scriptures for the church, is not taught in the Word of God. The whole Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction in doctrine and instruction in right living. This is what Paul declared to Timothy. And so recognize the sufficiency of all the Scripture due to its inspiration by God. The source of Timothy's authority and assurance was not some experience that he had or some position that had been conferred upon him, say, as pastor. Timothy could be assured that he could withstand all the evil that evil men could generate against him because he knew God and he knew God's word. He knew what God was like in all his glory. He knew what God had purposed to do in history. He knew that his God, through Jesus Christ, would secure his salvation as he directed him and empowered him to engage that great evil that was before him. And how did Timothy have this knowledge? It was because God had spoken through men who had written down God's words in a book, a collection of books, which is the Bible. God himself had breathed life and truth into the very words recorded. The very words that the writers of the Bible recorded were the words that God intended for them to write. And therefore, the words that are written are the words that God has spoken, and they were spoken with God's authority. And therefore, they may be relied upon as absolutely true and faithful. The Holy Scriptures may therefore be seen as equipping a Christian to face any challenge and overcome any obstacle that would stand in the way of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul wanted to affirm to Timothy. Timothy, you're going to face a lot of problems, and you are going to have to deal with a lot of evil men. But God has made you sufficient. Because you have the Scriptures, which are sufficient to guide you into truth and into the way that you should live. And so the sufficiency of the Holy Scriptures may be seen in the fact that it's inspired of God. Now, secondly, also the sufficiency of the Holy Scripture may be seen due to its utilitarian value in spiritual matters. This is what Paul declared. He said not only were the Scriptures inspired of God, but he then declared specifically, the Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. In other words, the Bible is fully reliable and sufficient so as to teach doctrine to the people, to withstand error in evil teaching, to correct errant understanding or behavior in God's people, and to guide them in living rightly before God. This covers all possible situations that may arise in the course of living for Jesus Christ. Learning about God and his ways needs to take place in the hearts and minds of God's people, and the Bible is sufficient toward this end. Those who would oppose the truth, or those who fall into error so as to be convinced that their error is truth, need to be reproved, need to be corrected, and the Bible is sufficient for this purpose. Believers make wrong decisions and choices in ordering their lives, or they err in their understanding of God's ways so that they need correction, and God's Word is sufficient for this too. And then people must know how to live before God, ordering their thoughts and their attitudes and their actions in a manner that pleases God. And the Bible is sufficient for guiding God's people in the steps that he would have them walk. And so we see before us a statement of the sufficiency of Holy Scripture to deal with any spiritual contingency that may arise in this life respecting ourselves and our relationship with God as we engage a hostile and evil world. A confidence in the sufficiency of Scripture was needful for Timothy to be borne along by God as to live for God and serve God's people faithfully. And there's a great need today for people to be convinced of the sufficiency of the Holy Scriptures to deal with all matters of the Christian life. We do not need gimmicks or tell half-truths or use modern marketing strategy or methods drawn from psychological or sociological research. God has given us his word by which his work is to be conducted, and all other resources are subordinate. In fact, they are futile. Only God through his word can accomplish his purposes in transforming sinners into saints, making them over into the image of their Savior whom they have embraced in faith. And so Paul tells Timothy the man of God is complete when he has God's word and he possesses a good understanding of it. He is thoroughly equipped, that is, he's outfitted with all that he needs to conduct every good work to which God has called him. Now, let me ask ourselves, do we really believe this? Do we believe that our church can do all that God would have us do in this world through believing and doing what the Scriptures alone direct us? Or do we really have doubts about the Bible's sufficiency? Well, I've heard parents say, well, my kids just won't hear and respond to a sermon, but if we provided this or that, they'll be reached. Or my husband simply will not sit through a pastor's message, but if he hears the testimony of some famous sports figure or some athlete or movie star that he likes, well, maybe he will hear then. Or they won't sit under the teaching and preaching of the Bible, but if they really saw God doing something miraculous, perform some healing miracle, then they'll believe. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Holy Scriptures alone make one wise unto salvation. And God will use no other means than His words to create spiritual life in believers of His word. If your child does not love God's word, he does not love God. If he loves church because of the friends he has there or the activities they do, but he won't sit through a sermon explaining and teaching what God is saying from his holy word, it's because there's no life in him. He is a stranger to God's grace. If men and women or boys or girls do not have an interest in, a desire for, a delight in hearing and understanding the word of God, it's because there is no light in them. And all of the exciting, fun, clever, impressive, or awesome experiences will not change them. For the light of God's knowledge of salvation comes only through the Word of God, clearly and plainly taught and preached. Now, to underscore this, let me cite our Lord's own teaching on this matter. Luke 16 records a story that is terrifying in its depiction of the damnation of an unbeliever. But it's also comforting to the one who suffers in this life but believes on Jesus. Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Here it is. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This is Jesus telling these words. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Now listen. And then the rich man said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Now listen to what Jesus said through Abraham. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Take careful note of what our Lord was teaching through this story. Jesus was saying that God uses only his word to communicate the way of salvation. They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But the rich man did not see the scriptures as sufficient to bring his brothers to salvation. They needed something more than the Bible. Oh, they needed power religion. Secondly, recognize witnessing miracles cannot transform unbelievers into Christians. If we could raise a dead man to life once a week at the end of every Sunday morning service, in about 3 weeks' time, there'd be standing room only in my church. But that would not, could not bring one soul to salvation. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. The point is this. The Apostle Paul made it very clear to Timothy that it's the Holy Scriptures that make you wise unto salvation. And that is the means that God has appointed to bring people to salvation through Jesus Christ. He creates life in people even as the Word of God is proclaimed faithfully and truthfully. And so may the Lord bless His Word. And may He give us grace that we might proclaim it fully and confidently to one another and before our churches. Well, until next time, may the grace of God be abundantly granted to you.
We trust that God has blessed you from listening to Dr. Lars Larson. Today's program, as well as previously recorded messages, are available through our website. We invite you to visit thewordoftruth.net. The First Baptist Church of Leominster and concerned friends have sponsored this broadcast of The Word of Truth. If we may assist you by directing you to a sound, reformed church near you, please contact us. If Pastor Larson can assist you further or answer a question that you may have about today's subject, he would be pleased to speak with you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. Until our next time together, may our God bless you richly through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's The Word of Truth program was sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit PaulRents.com for party and equipment rentals.